regarding that notes that 17,496,000 pounds of recycling material was collected at the West Complex site during February. Fire service mobile units, the county staff on March 10th completed the first installation of a mobile unit for the Georgetown Fire Department. Additional units will be installed on fire company vehicles in the future with county assistance. The initial units have been funded, their licenses have been funded by a Homeland Security grant, and county staff is paid for via the county council. March 1st and 2nd snowstorm report. Our staff was busy at the Emergency Operations Center during the snowstorm on March 1st and 2nd, monitoring and responding to special needs due to the snowstorm. County staff also worked through the night clearing snow from the county airport, as well as county parking lots and surrounding buildings. Back to school briefing, Lieutenant Governor Matt Ten will be holding on March 20th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in this chamber's public meeting regarding education. Secretary of Education Lillian Lowry is co-hosting the event. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Baker before we move on? If not, we'll turn the meeting over to Susan Webb, our Finance Director.
Thank you. In your packet this week, you've received sets of minutes from the Pension Committee, and I appreciate that we have new members, so I'm going to have to take you back to 2008 and bring you forward because we have a Pension Committee recommendation for today. The Pension Committee met on February 19th of this year with a recommendation that I'm bringing to County Council. In 2008, we met in November, and we decided a lot of things to do that we were working on over the year. That's why I have to take it back to 2008. Typically, we get together at the end of the year and decide what to do with our annual contribution. Here are bullet points, brief bullet points describing what we talked about in a synopsis. In 2008, we had a pension investment consultant for the first time, and we were very well funded, 97%, and we were looking at options for our pension funds to make them even better. How do we strategize for the long term? And with the help of our investment consultants and being a healthy 97% funded, we decided to go with two new global equity managers to complement the plan that we already had. And we listened to proposals, and the committee chose two, Vanguard and DuPont Capital Management. We also decided on how to treat our 2009 budgeted pension contribution. But as you know, with pensions being so volatile, that took us through the year. Every time we had a meeting, the focus changed. The assets went down even further, and we had to kind of regroup and see where we were at. So it was hard to stay on task, even though we had a strategy. So at the meeting in November, we decided on the two new global equity managers and what to do with the annual contribution. And the bullet points is a synopsis of that. With the new contribution of $2.3 million, we decided to one of our first choices of the new global equity managers was Vanguard. We decided to open the Vanguard account with $500,000. Since the market was very volatile and going down every day, we decided to hold back the rest of the piece of that $2.3 million contribution and put it in cash or staggered CDs so we could keep control of that money with a sure return of investment rather than jump it right into the market. We could stagger these CDs, which we did, and enter the market when we felt the timing was right. One of the other things we did was getting out of the Fidelity funds, their fixed investment, their bonds, to the Wilmington Trust fixed income account. Wilmington Trust had always been a proven solid return for us versus the Fidelity fixed income, so we decided to transfer those assets over. And then open up a new account with DuPont Capital, our second new global equity manager. In the course of things, market got worse. We didn't have the minimum to set up for the DuPont Capital Management. They needed a $5 million minimum, which brought me back to the Pension Committee in February, so I could let them know as I move this money around where we stood, especially with the $5 million that the council also approved, but I couldn't fulfill that obligation. So we went back to the pension committee, met again, and decided to make a new recommendation to county council to try to satisfy one of our goals. February, now we're March. It's still worse again. So we do have some options today that we want to put out on the table. I am going to give you a handout of the valuation of our pension. That includes all our new assets, pension assets, with the CDs and the Vanguard account, and the comparable indices. Of course, as we met in November and decided on DuPont Capital, we didn't foresee us not the asset value eroding even still. So we didn't foresee it going down below $5 million, which completely changed the focus. So the pension committee did make a recommendation that they wanted me to take to council. It's in the minutes. And what that recommendation was to be is to pull the Wilmington Trust equity value and the Fidelity equity value, combine them, and move that money into the new DuPont Capital Management account, and I would get the $5 million balance. So we would be pulling equity from Wilmington Trust and Fidelity, which the committee wanted to reduce anyway, and open up the account with DuPont Capital Management. The account with DuPont Capital Management, it's not a commingled trust. It's not a mutual fund. They would run our investments. We would be their only customer. I mean, they operate with other customers, but our funds wouldn't be commingled with other funds, like a mutual fund type thing. Now, with that being said, and brings us up to March and current actualities and realities of the stock market, and there are some other options with that $5 million. We can leave it as is, leave Fidelity where it is, leave Wilmington Trust out as it is, and I can rebalance slowly. This is where it's going to get a little bit technical.
You're asking us?
Well, no, I need a recommendation. Now, I'm going to give you a recommendation, but I'm not asking for advice as more as giving you some information of the background, especially for the benefit of the three new council members.
We pay you big bucks to make these important decisions. Okay.
I've seen the salaries. I don't think so. No.
What this shows you is our total value of pension as of February. Some statements I had, because today's March 17th, so I pulled together what I could in the last day as I was getting them in the mail. The total value as of February, and then on the right is our equity value. That's our stock value. We are 54% right now, well, as of February, invested in equities or stock. As comparison to the state, they are 48%. Typically, the county was 60-40 allocation. We went that way for a long time. And I know if Dave wants to butt in, because he has a lot of history on the asset mix. When we did our new investment plan just last year, because we were so well-funded in the pension fund, the plan was 70-30. That's a little aggressive right now. So luckily, we're at 54% equity. But what I can do, if you're not completely happy or 100% on board with the DuPont, $5 million into DuPont, into a global equity fund, which is right now not the stablest of all the equities because its exposure is broader, I can maintain a 60-40 rebalancing or a 50-50 rebalancing, and every month I can look at it and keep that balanced mixture of asset allocation rather than putting that $5 million right in, and we can address it at a later time, or we can, you know, I can come back in a couple of months and we can see where we're at, especially with rolling these CDs. I do intend to roll those CDs until it gets a little more stable and we meet with the pension committee again before that's put right back in the market. We feel it's conservative, or I feel it's conservative option and a model that we can follow. And right now, it's not extreme one way or the other. It's not pulling all our stock out, you know, where we know there's going to be an upswing, and it's not dumping it all in there where we don't know what the future will bring. It's kind of a middle of the road, which I think no one, you know, can criticize that it's, if we do a 50-50 or a 60-40, we're just maintaining that balance. We've got that diversification of the fixed income. I don't know if David has a lot of history with the pension. He wants to add anything.
Number of years ago when we first got into investing pension fund money in the equity market, in the stock market, we went with a 50-50 allocation. Few years after we started, and that the purpose of that was to increase our returns so that we could reduce our contributions, because the stock market, of course, typically performs better than fixed income investments, but it's riskier, as we are very well aware. But then we increased that to 60% equity or stocks and 40% fixed income, and that was a few years after we got into the stock market. And then, like as Mrs. Webb mentioned, the recommendation from our consultant was to change that to 70% stock and 30% fixed income. That was the policy change was done, but we actually didn't implement that. And I guess what Sue is suggesting is that looking at this and looking at the chart that she's handed out now with the ups and down in the market, even like during the 30s when there was depression, there was, if you look on the upside in 1933 and, 1933 and then 1935, there were 40 to 60% upswings. So there are upswings in the stock market, hopefully, that we will see in the next few years. So I guess
that would be the reason why to completely.
If we went with a policy like 50-50 or 60-40 and do a rebalancing, which has been recommended for us to do anyway by our consultant, that as the values change, that we would go in and that we would place more or less money in the stock market, but try to keep it at that 50-50 or 60-40 split. So that was one way of taking a look at this. The State of Delaware Fund, they are actively managed, and that varies. Their percentage varies, and they look at individual investments and whatnot.
They were at
so
one
we're,
time.
We're excluding that from this process because they are, you know, they do financial analysis and try to determine what would be the best way, but or what would be the most appropriate investment at a given time. But we're not as sophisticated as they are. So what we, by going with a policy where we basically try to go with a 50-50 or 60-40 split, we thought that's more conservative than the 70-30, and it might be a way to for your consideration. So
they were at one time 80-20. But they're so diversified and have billions of dollars that they can afford that little bit, you know, a lot of that risk. But they've been rebalancing and pulling it in, and the stock value has been, stock base is eroding, so that makes the percentage down, or at 48%. But the pension committee did recommend, of course, that we go with the DuPont Capital Management, which was chosen of one out of four. It was a very good fund, very good managers. And at any given other time, they would be perfect. It's just that we do have some options we discuss.
Can you take some questions now?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Vincent.
What is your recommendation?
I recommend that we rebalance and we hold off on putting it into the DuPont Capital Management right now. And we look at rebalancing and staying at either at the 50-50 or 60-40, and we just stay on top of it monthly until we think the upturn is there. I'm not opposed to DuPont at all. I hope we get to become a client of theirs. I hope we get to take advantage of having them as a global equity manager. I just don't think the time's right now. And every time we've met, the focus of the pensions change. You can't hardly keep up with it before it's different. You know, just like we were so well funded, and don't get me wrong, the pension is, because the way they do the asset smoothing and taking into account your loss. But we don't have to rush right in. We can just sit back and take middle of the road. I don't want to be extreme and say, I want to rush it all into cash. And I don't want to be to go into the one of the most, a global equity manager at this time.
Well, I would agree with your thinking. As you will remember, I'm new on the pension committee, and I made the motion to go to DuPont.
Yes.
And I still think it's a good move.
Yes,
I do. But
I
think
too.
Right now is not the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree with your thought. I don't know about the 50-50, 60-40. I think it's kind of up to you.
Okay.
In my mind.
Yeah.
But I would agree.
Okay. Mr.
Cole? I would offer a motion.
Just a minute.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Finish the discussion. Mr. Cole.
I think I asked once before, when we invest money into these funds, we do it as a lump sum at one time and go in, or do we like dollar cost average? Because I've always heard that, putting it in periodically, like when they take money out of my paycheck, I'm buying, every month or every paycheck, and it's staggered, so you're catching the market.
Well, the recent contributions have been to the state pool.
At one lump sum.
And one lump sum, and they buy units.
And
when
they're done usually at what time of year?
It's in December.
So everybody, other governments, everybody's throwing money in at one time, possibly?
I can only speak for when we add to their pool. That's when we do it, and our budget, and then we make the contribution because of our actuarial.
Have we ever investigated maybe possibly, not putting it all in at one lump sum? Because at that time of year, there's different rules of thumb about better times of year to invest, and the market's typically here and typically there. And if we're just, get this money and we throw it in at one time, it may maybe not to our advantage. And I just
certainly
dollar cost averaging is what they call it, I think.
Is that about what we did in December by setting aside the $1.8 million?
Excuse me, what was the first part of your sentence? Is that what?
That's what we did in December.
Right.
We staggered it, yes.
In December, we had a $2.3 million contribution to pension. We put $500,000 in the Vanguard equity fund, which is now worth $414,000. We lost $86,000 by going into the market. Mm-hmm. The council agreed that we should set aside the other $1.833 million into, in essence, a secure CD backed by collateral. And that has made $3,000, which isn't much, but had that been in the same account of Vanguard, we would have lost about $309,000 on that money.
That was a very good decision and approach, because that obviously the principal hasn't eroded on that investment.
So you're right, Mr. Cole, that's exactly what we should be doing.
Well, I just get concerned about seeing the ups and downs of this market and how any bad news, it goes south on you, and a little bit of good news, it perks up. And I don't. I think it actually, with some of the values out there, it might be a good time to be buying, for the long term, because we're seeing, some prices now that are, in some of these stocks.
That's why we have to stay in
very
with
attractive.
The asset mix allocation and take advantage of that, the low price of the stocks.
But I just would be concerned if it was my money if I was just going to go and, drop it in all at one time. So I like staggering a little bit.
Are there any other questions? I have one. The practical effect of rebalancing to a 50-50 split, if that's what you decide on, with our current allocation at 54%, would in essence be moving some money out of Wilmington Trust and Fidelity equity accounts into a secure fixed investment?
Yes. In Wilmington Trust is where I have both stock and fixed assets. So I can rebalance there. But as you see on this report, the indices one, I can tell which which investment, you know, on a monthly basis, I get statements. So I can tell which investment is, like, the Wilmington Trust real manager real estate with the 18% indices, or I can see which one's heading south or which one's worse than others, and use that as a tool to help with the rebalancing.
Okay. But once we give this money to Wilmington Trust or Fidelity or any of these groups, they basically pull it in and pull it out. They're the ones that are manipulating our money supply, right?
But I'm going to rebalance at a, just say 50-50. Mm-hmm. So I'll just recalculate where I want my 50-50 to be, and I can go in and out of, you know, Wilmington Trust is where I have both options between the equity and the fixed income.
Have you personally made any money in the stock market?
Mr. Baker?
The things we thought that we could go back to the pension committee if this was the path that the council would like to go and try to determine how to reallocate on a regular basis and what would be appropriate or not appropriate in terms of investments.
Well, you did say we were unsophisticated, you used that word, compared to other. Would it be advisable to have somebody?
Well, we have a consultant. I do want to let you know, and it's important now, we're working on an annual contract with him. We're negotiating with him as we speak, so the timing's perfect.
And does he have a good track record?
Investment consultant?
Yes, for a pension investment consultant.
Of course, he doesn't get any commission on that.
Oh, no, he's completely independent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He helped us choose our global equity managers. He helped us write our investment policy as no commission, no tie to any one investment. And he, right now, I think everybody is looking at investment consultants to help them determine their decisions. And the last that we went to the committee in February, they left it to me to negotiate, Dave to approve. So we'll continue working on that so that he can guide us as we need him.
Ms. Webb, if you could read your recommendation as a motion, we'll see if we can get support for it.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approve the recommendation by the finance director to rebalance the assets of the pension committee of the pension investment assets as recommended by the pension committee.
Is there a motion?
That's the motion.
That is the motion. Mm-hmm. Is there a council person that would like to support that motion?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second. I'm very unsophisticated in this, and I'm hoping to follow her lead.
All right, I'll open the floor to discussion. If anyone has concerns, it may be a good time to air them.
Now, did that motion take into account the 50-50 strategy?
Well, did you want us to identify?
The answer is no, it did not.
Okay, I would like to take a very, very conservative position on this money. I think once you give that money to other businesses and whatnot, you're at their risk. And I mean, we've experienced terrible losses as a nation in our businesses. I'm for the most conservative position as possible.
Okay. Could we assume, Mr. Baker, that the pension committee will bring forth a recommendation as to how that will be ultimately split?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the motion? If not, I'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Howe Gottman.
Mr. President, members of council, this morning before you, we have a consideration for two towns who have made requests for disbursement from their annual municipal police grant fund. The first being the town of Seaford. They've requested $2,467 from their annual fund, which will be used for barrier, shield, gun rack, emergency lighting, etc., for a police vehicle. The other town that's made a request for a disbursement or a draw on their fund is the town of Milford. They are asking for operational funds, and they also will use these funds to buy some new jackets, and their total will be $5,138.50. Both of these towns still have some dollars remaining in their $25,000 pool for this year's budget. If you'd like, I'll put a motion.
Please.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council hereby approve the disbursements for the towns of Milford and Seaford as discussed.
Also moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion?
I have a question. Will this carry over if they don't use it all?
No, it does not. But
we give them ample warning if their grant's not used. We call the
I believe they have to have the request in by July 1 in order to qualify. Is that the date? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But both towns are very close to the end. They have less than each of them have less than $2,000 remaining in their fund.
And are they continuing to get language within the letter that goes back to them suggesting that this fund is in question for the future?
I don't know that that's happened recently. I know that it happened a few months ago, but they also know they're given plenty of notice at the end of our fiscal year that they need to get requests in if they have a balance remaining.
There was at one time, Ms. Webb, I believe,
a letter
notice that was mm-hmm. given to the towns that this fund is a one-time fund without any guarantees.
I believe so. It's in their
letter. I thought
that
went out last year, didn't it, Dave? Last summer.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have a motion and a second to approve these grants. If there's no further discussion, we'll take the vote. Ms. Diva?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Mr. Cole is absent. Mr. Griffin, may I ask you if we could afford the opportunity to a representative of at least the state police, possibly a local town, to address the council at this time on the issue of law enforcement grants?
Well, I think we could. If we do that, if there's some member of the public who would like to comment about that following their comments.
Would you prefer it to wait for the additional business as opposed to putting it under this agenda item?
Well, it.
I'm just thinking they're on company time, and I know they'd probably prefer to get back out on the road.
Well, we could do it, and then if somebody wants to have a rejoinder to that, they could certainly do it under public comment.
Okay. Is there a representative of the state police that would like to address us today? Municipal police, excuse me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Or is it afternoon already? Chief Topping with the Georgetown Police Department, currently the chair of the Sussex County Municipal Police Chiefs Organization, and I appreciate getting a couple minutes of your time. I have been listening to Mr. Baker and the County Council discussing the budget cutbacks and the funding that is not going to be there in the future, and I appreciate your position, as I'm sure that all of my colleagues and their respective town elected officials respect your position. What I'm here to ask for today is the continuation of the municipal police grants that the County Council has granted in the past. I understand that all the cutbacks that you're making, the sacrifices that your employees are making, and so on, to balance the county budget, and we appreciate that. And what I would like you to consider is that if the funding cannot be the full $25,000 per agency, if you would still consider funding those agencies at a level that is acceptable for the County Council. We have had a lot of state cutbacks in municipal police functions, and the most recent thing I would say would be the Sally and Edie funding by the legislature. All that funding was approved last year and signed into law by the governor. However, they took it away from us at the end, and they're still holding on to it. And while we don't supplant our budgets with that, when we've been getting that funding for 20 years and all of a sudden we're not getting it for whatever reason, it has an impact upon us all. Also, the state budget has not been released yet, so we are facing further cutbacks in technology money and money supporting DELGIS and so on. And so we are looking at severe cutbacks as well. Cutbacks aside, the municipal agencies in the County of Sussex constantly respond to assist the state police in unincorporated areas. With the economic downturn that we've had in the last year or so, crime has not dissipated. It has increased in all areas of the county, and we are still assisting all municipal agencies. We have collected our officers here, and we still support each other in fighting the crime and public safety in Sussex County. We don't see it getting any better, and we see our taskings increasing. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the state budget has in store for us, and we don't know what it has in store for the state police. So we don't know if cutbacks in that area are also going to be affecting public safety within the county. But if you would consider the funding for the municipal agencies, again, if it's not at full level, at a level that's comfortable for the county, we will not turn it down. You know, we will be very appreciative of it. And public safety is our main concern, and I can guarantee everybody on the council that you can depend on your municipal agencies to take care of the county of Sussex.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
If there are additional comments about this or other topics, the floor will be open during the additional business part of our meeting. The next agenda item is Mike Izzo, our county engineer.
Still a few minutes of morning left. So good morning. I have two items on my agenda. The first is in regards to Prince George's Acres, which is a small subdivision in our Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District. During the original construction of Dagsboro-Frankfort, we actually were able to serve a small portion of the subdivision. And more recently, the other residents of the subdivision had come to us about extending sewer into the project. We actually did the design in-house. We inspected the construction in-house, and the construction is now complete. And if there aren't any questions, I would like to grant substantial completion to the contractor, Teal Construction of Dover, Delaware, and I have a motion that I can read.
Are there any questions for Mr. Izzo?
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the engineering department that Sussex County Council grant substantial completion effective February 20, 2009 for contract number 07-07 Prince George's Acres Phase 2 to Teal Construction Incorporated, and that the final payment be made and any held retainage be released in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract documents.
Have a motion, please.
Yes, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the motion read by Mr. Izzo. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Diva?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion approved. Mm-hmm.
My second item is in reference to a proposed lease with Singular LLC. It actually used to be the Singular phone service you used to see advertised on TV. More recently, they've been bought out by AT&T. However, the company in Delaware is still referred to as Singular. We have two existing leases that exist on our Dewey Water Tower. The first was with Sprint, and we have one with Verizon as well. And then more recently, Singular had contacted us about placing an antenna for communications on top of the water tower. I've given you some information about the cost that we receive from the existing leases. Singular's is a little bit different. The amount that's proposed day one would start out at $1,675 per month, and that amount would go up 3% each year. Kind of giving you a schedule and kind of compare the cost across the board. They've also offered to give us a piece of electronic equipment. They had asked about putting their own generator unit on the site, but if you know the Dewey Water Tower, it's a pretty small site, so we have opted to tie them into our own existing generator. And to help do that, they bought a piece of equipment that is beneficial to us, and the value is about $10,000. The term of the lease is 5-year increments. There are 4 automatic renewals. However, either party, if we give 12 months notice, so sometime before the end of year 3, if we want to discontinue this lease, we can put them on notice at the end of year 5 that the lease would terminate. And that's basically the format of the lease. Are there any questions?
If not, could you offer the motion?
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that Sussex County Council approves the lease agreement with New Singular Wireless PCS LLC for the placement of communications equipment on the Dewey Beach Water Tower.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, Mike. Is Jules here, or are you carrying the water?
There she is.
There she is.
This is her first time before County Council.
Oh, good.
She understands there is an initiation process, doesn't she?
You have to take us out to lunch.
She's not listening.
I don't think she heard a word of it.
No.
You guys are mean.
Good morning. Be kind.
At this day, regarding the award of the agricultural lease contract to Invaze. The previous five-year agreement with Deerfield Farms expired on December 31st, and the lease was rebid. As indicated on the bid summary before you, four bids were received, the highest of which was from Sayre Baldwin, Inc., in the amount of $50,014. Are there any questions?
Are there any questions from council?
That's good.
If you bring us money like this, you can come back again.
Okay, I have a motion. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approves the agreement with Sayre Baldwin, Inc. for the lease of farmland for wastewater disposal at the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility.
I'll offer the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, I'll take a vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
And before I vote yes, I would like to thank you, especially I know that you rebid or you extended the time period so you could get some more bids in, and I want to thank Mr. Wilson. I believe he was carrying around the bid packet to farmers for a couple weeks to try to stir up more interest, so working together, it looks like we're going to do very well. The previous lease, I believe we only made about $8,000 on?
It was $13,000.
$13,000?
Yeah.
Okay, so we certainly are in good shape here.
And how long have you been with us now?
This is about 2 years now.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. So in the first time you've been able to come see us, huh?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Lack.
Can you hear that?
Morning.
Again. Morning.
I was asked to come in and give us an update on our public notice signs. Last week, I forwarded a memo to all the council members. I'll just run through that real quick. It's a little bit of history. Several weeks ago, the council discussed public notice signs for the posting of public hearings. Some county residents have referenced complaints about the size of the sign and their lack of information. Council asked that for a recommendation from staff. And just for history-wise, currently, on that date that we discussed it, I showed you a 1218 sign, which we presently use. It's white with black lettering, and we put a yellow sticker on it that goes across the center pretty much and gives a history of the application, the case number, the request that's proposed, and the time of the hearings and the date of the hearings. I exhibited a 1218, which we use as a standard now. We have used for 10, 20 years. A 16 by 24 example, and a 21 by 35 poster board just for display for purpose of a size and scale of three different signs. In trying to determine the size and type sign to utilize, I had to give consideration to my inspectors. They had to post the signs. The availability of space for storage, transporting the signs to be able to post the signs, the ability of the public to read the signs, the number of postings on application sites, for example, in reference to that, if there's two roads or three roads, we should have at least one sign on each road, mm-hmm. so that's visible. And in the past, we have done that on occasion, but not always. It's just been whatever basically the primary road was what we chose. The number of postings, as I said, on application signs, and then the need to retrieve. Typically, the signs that we've used have been on a wooden stake, either cardboard or paper stock poster board, They don't hold up well in the weather. Rain, they're nailed to a post. As soon as it rains, the hole from the nail enlarges just from swelling and sign falls off, gets ripped off, or many reasons naturally and by man itself. Probably half of them get some kind of vandalism. My recommendation is that we increase the size of the sign to an 18 by 24. That's 1.5 times larger than what we use to now. We would change the color of the sign from white to yellow or orange, whichever was the choice. We'll still have black lettering. The biggest thing I think that just from listening to council and somewhat public participation that we had was that we need to make the case number, the application number larger so people can see that, and then provide a phone number for informational that's large enough to be able to read rather than have to necessarily get out of your car and walk to the sign and try to read it. The difficulty now is that we type on a typewriter the information that's needed, so you have to get right up to the sign to read it. So that's been the difficulty of it. And the lack of a phone number and a case number that's large enough for people to see is the biggest issue, because if we have an informational number, they can call that number and get more information about seeing the case number. So that, I think that'll help a lot.
And these will be weather resistant.
We want to use what the political signs are of sorts, the corrugated fiberglass or plastic. Mm-hmm. And it would be on wires rather than wooden stakes. I think that was another point. You go in the wintertime and you bang that stake down into the ground with a hammer and the stake splits the sign, you have to go back and do it again.
So. Are there going to be those real skinny wire signs, or are they going to have a little rigidness to them?
That's why I kept to that side. If we use same as the political signs, the wind makes them move a little bit, but they seem to withhold it better than the stake does. If it's on a stake mm-hmm. and it's a larger sign, the wind's going to blow it over, especially in the winter because you can't get it down the ground far enough.
Right.
So,
okay.
I would like to add to that, too, that we have, I counted them, 120 poster signs already made up. I'm not worried about the cost of the signs too much, but I've got almost 100 or 101, I think it was when I counted them last week, actually poster board the stakes that we use are already in stock. So I'd like to at least be able to use those signs up. Mm-hmm. Another thought was, and I mean, I can work it out once I receive the signs, is that we could use the smaller signs that we have now for the Board of Adjustment cases, and you try to use the bigger signs for the change of zones till we're right now, the smaller ones, then at that point, all the signs would be the same size.
That's probably the best idea.
The board cases are more oriented towards that site specifically. Most of them are in subdivisions. People are going to see them. They're going to walk by rather than ride by. So
I like that idea.
That's the thought that would give us, once we get the signs, it would be a little bit more expeditious action for larger signs rather than the small ones.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Mr. Lang? Do you have a motion, Mr. Lang?
No. That was just an update.
When are we going to start?
We ordered signs. We're going to printers and see if we get a design and we can show you what we propose, or we can.
Yellow and black has always been the most prominent colors that jump out at you. Whenever I read studies about what colors are best for political signs, they've always said yellow and black, like a school bus. That's why they use them. So, or yellow and red, but so my preference.
Not anticipating any future in politics, George. Except that is your.
Well, I got five signs I could let you use.
Mr. Wilson?
Don't we have some old signs still left? Isn't that what you're saying?
Yeah, I have almost, I have 100 stakes and 120 plus signs.
Board of Adjustment.
Already printed.
We're going to use those up first, you said.
Well, we can use them up, but as I said,
we might use those,
once we get the sign, we use those predominantly for the board. And on occasion, just by seeing what the board application is, we would use a bigger sign.
Yeah.
Because most of them are just variances, and they're typically on-site, specific, oriented towards the project.
So this does not require a motion that you're going to start doing it.
If there is no objection, it is understood that we give Mr. Lang the authority to move forward.
All I would ask is a consensus of the size is all I really need.
Bigger is better.
Vote on the size, whichever.
Very good.
George, I go a little that black and yellow.
You like black and yellow?
Yes, sir.
Well, we're glad.
With white, better.
Lawrence, you're
opposed to what? What was the other color, pink?
Orange. Yeah.
I don't know. Oh. Pink.
In your presentation, you reference 18 by 24, and it sounds like the council's comfortable with that.
Yes.
Fine. Take that as a consensus.
Yes.
Thanks.
That is a standard size that they make. That's, I mean, we're not asking for them to cut out.
I don't believe so.
Because there are standard. So when you go to the sign men, they have like this different sizes. And
they're all different
standard.
Sizes, but there was a.
But get something.
The one
standard.
I showed you at the last discussion was a 16 by 24.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. Whatever is a standard size.
16 by 24.
Yeah, I just don't want to see a special order type of sign.
Yeah, and I know you'll be using those stands that they have different. Different choice. Yeah. So okay. It's windy around here.
We can do that.
I did a job for y'all in Belltown. I there was a sign that was squished down into the ground, one of the cardboard signs. Picked it back up for you and put it right on the stake.
Oh, we appreciate that.
There you go.
We actually had citizenry actually sign posted on a parcel next to where it should have been, and they've mm-hmm. actually moved them for us. So
well, there you go.
So, yeah, we do get some assistance.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Ms. Webb?
Fine job.
Just a few grants today. The first one, Sons of American Legion, Squadron 28.
Well, was that addressed to anybody in particular?
Yes, I believe it's Mr. Cole.
What's that?
The Sons of American Legion, Squadron 28.
Oh, yes.
Benefit.
Yes. What did I? Did I? What, did they have a special amount? I forgot.
You, $100.
It's been a couple weeks, huh?
$100.
Because I think they have sponsorship.
Sponsor. Yep.
Yes, we will sponsor that. Thank you.
Well, since my husband belongs to it, I better give $100.
You well, there's $200 now. We got two sponsors.
Stop, please stop with that.
I assume we have a motion from Mr. Cole, seconded by Ms. Deaver, to give $100 from each of their accounts. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Sussex Central High School, it's for a Sussex Central High School student, Kyle Davis, but it's the People to People organization where we sponsor them as ambassadors. This student lives in Millsboro, goes to Sussex Central. I don't know who put this on. I don't have a. It's not. It's whoever would represent the Millsboro.
I represent Millsboro. I am going to wait on that at least a week.
Okay. Sussex Child Health Promotion Coalition.
Is that a
it
countywide?
Is.
Yes.
Where is that?
Yes, they team up with the town of Laurel for a walk. They're one of. They participate.
A walk for what? Some benefit?
A walk for the child health promotion.
It's sponsored by the
sponsorship for a child.
The child health care thing, the 5321. Yeah, that's. But that came from the Laurel only, those two?
It is a community wide event. Walk.
Just for the Laurel community, you're saying?
I think
Laurel High School. That's where the walk.
Right.
The
Phillips,
communities
would you like
participating
to help with that?
Are Laurel, Seaford, Bridgeville, Georgetown, Lewis. Five communities participating in this community walk in April, and they're looking for $1,000.
Thinking $50 each.
I make a motion we give $100 each.
Yeah, I have $100 left. Yeah.
Let's get her $100.
Better
right
get
now.
My money while
is there
it's
a second?
Good.
Yeah. We have a second, I assume. Is there any further discussion?
You guys are pretty free about making motions for other councilmen.
Yes, we are.
Yeah,
you don't mind getting on.
Yes, we are.
We have an opportunity.
You got some against children?
Let's vote. Call for the vote.
We will take the vote. Ms.
Sounds like Washington, yes. Like Washington, D.C. It's for the children.
Mr. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
That's yes.
The last time.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes.
That's it. Thank you.
We now have an executive session.